Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire, your number one source for patriotic truth. You know who we are. We're not going to introduce this. If you want to know, look below. Today, before we get started, let you guys know, we're going to be touching on Epstein and why he's still not being talked about in the mainstream media. And we might also get to some Brexit, talk a little bit about Boris Johnson's fight to free England from the clutches of the European Union. Before we jump in, please take just a moment to like and share this video if you can. Subscribe if you haven't, and comment below on either of those subjects. Also, please hit the notifications button. That way you know whenever a new episode is up. Also, if you would like a Freedom Hat, Freedom Wire Hat. I call them Freedom Hats, but...
A Freedom Tank.
Freedom Tank. Come get to it. Sun's out, guns out, kind of a thing.
Or a Freedom Mug.
If you want any of that stuff, please go to freedomwire.com. Go to the shop tab on the top of the page. I like to say shop and top, even though I know it's a store tab.
Such a contrarian.
We're a nation of rebels. That's what we do.
And I think the rebel is strong in this one. I tend to not do what people tell me to do. I can't help it. I like to do the opposite, actually. Unless you tell me to self-harm myself or something like that.
Oh, that escalated.
Got dark real quick.
Wow, it's 13 Reasons Why or whatever.
So,
but that leads us right into Epstein.
That leads us in. Yeah. Speaking of self-harm, no, this is one of those stories that keeps not being talked about, and it should still be at the forefront of every news agency out there. I mean, there are a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to what all was involved with the whole Epstein case. I wrote today an article about something that just came to light, but something that happened in 2018. The lead investigator from Palm Beach County, just the city of Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. The island there.
The island. After the investigation, he's 50 years old, got a brief illness and died at 50 years old. Like, out of nowhere.
Seems incredibly suspicious.
But but not on its own. But when you add the other details in.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, on its own, it's like, oh, this guy got sick and died. Yeah. Meanwhile, relatively healthy and relatively good shape. His last name is...
Ricari or something? Or something
Ricari. Ricari. He was one of the most decorated detectives in... in the city's history, and he had already retired from the city or from being a detective, and he was helping with restaurants and things of that nature as head of security and things of that nature.
Yeah, loss prevention. No, it was the beer distributor.
Right, and then it got broader from there after, because the beer distributorship got bought and all kinds of stuff.
Anyway, so you're on the private sector.
But yeah, so. There was an interview they did with the Seattle Times, him and the captain, which was Rainier, Captain Rainier. And they talked about how after they started the investigation, they were being followed. Mm-hmm. Private investigators were bought or were hired to follow them. Go through their garbage, all kinds of information, or all kinds of things. Like one of the comments was, I would see them in my rearview mirror, and like it was a game of cat and mouse, and they were following me. And he goes, I was beginning to become worried for my family.
I believe at one point he even said they went and talked to his elementary school teachers.
Yes, his.
We must move on.
This is not an area.
Carry on with the show.
They're testing the. Fire drill or the fire alarm.
At the Freedom Bunker here.
They're trying to silence the conservative voice.
But we're going to keep running. We're going to keep running. Yeah, they tracked down the detectives' elementary school teachers for some unknown reason.
They just wanted to get anything on them, it seems like.
And when you add this, And the most telling line of that whole entire interview was relentless. They were getting, despite relentless political pressure, they soldiered on. Relentless political pressure. What does that tell you?
It makes you wonder whether those people who were following them were hired by Epstein and his people, or if there were other people behind the scenes who hired them independently.
Sounds like it might
just
be his lawyers.
From Epstein.
It might be his lawyers. That's kind of the impression I got.
Who's
Epstein's
lawyers?
Lawyers, yeah.
Right, no, well that's what...
And that's what they said, I think, in the article.
That's what they said, but how do we know? How do we know that it was the lawyers that paid for it? Again, this is as classic of a I'm losing the word here.
I don't know.
Conspiracy theory. This is the classic conspiracy theory that keeps getting weirder. I mean, add this to all the other weird parts of this entire, you know, event, this Epstein event, and it just makes sense that there's something even bigger going on here. It's like,
independently, all those little details are weird, but they don't seem to indicate anything. But when you put them all together, you know, the investigator dying, the prison guards falling asleep, all the screaming they heard coming from the room earlier, all these little things work together to create this weird conspiracy that is the most reasonable thing I've heard in a long time.
Even though it's not being covered, like, top of the headlines, there are, even that article we just read today, there is a drip. And you just got to overlook. But
that article was a small, independent...
No, I get it. But there's still ways to find out. And there are still people doing journalism, you know.
There are still people doing their homework.
That's
yes.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't lose faith in the, you know, like...
What makes me nervous is the mainstream media. You know, there is... When's the last time you saw anything as far as an Epstein headline in the mainstream media?
3 days after he died?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I know there hasn't been, but there's also the, you know, in their defense, the news cycle just moves like incredibly fast, especially in the Donald Trump era. It just seems to go.
I agree. I agree 100%. But there was so much to this story. I mean, are we the only ones? Are conservatives the only ones that are concerned with this story? Shouldn't the entire nation be concerned? I mean, you know, we had leftists trying to blame Trump for the death. We had leftists trying to say Trump took a ride on the plane. And it's verified, yes, Trump took a ride on the plane. Took one ride. Clinton, 26 rides. 5 of them without Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it goes beyond the United States. Prince Andrew, there was just reported the other day that he had, Epstein had 13 numbers that you could reach Prince Andrew at of England. He's the son of Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, and he had numbers at Buckingham Palace. So it just goes beyond the United States. I mean, that's a big international
it's an community. International affair,
right? Exactly.
Well, and the fact that the
he also had Jean-Luc Brunel, the French fashion guy. Mm-hmm. Who like, this is an international thing with a lot of people from all over the world tied up in it.
Yeah,
so it's not just something Americans should be aware of.
It's so disturbing, too, about, I mean, in that same article we read that how, you know, they were, this, you know, there was, like, messages or whatever. They couldn't make it because the one girl couldn't make it because she had soccer practice. It was just little stuff like this.
Right, and that's ultimately the saddest part of this story is that these kids, well, they're adults now, but these then children won't get the justice they deserve, and they have. It's the story has lost focus on the victims.
Right, and I agree with that. That's always been kind of one of my problems with it. You know, they just focus on the high. Well, this is what happened to the girls, though. This is why this is a story. It's horrible. Sex trafficking in general is still going on around the world. It's a terrible, terrible thing. That especially, I mean, these underage girls. It's just sick. It's just disgusting. It's what these guys do.
And what's terrible for us is knowing that they were local girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not for everybody watching, but for us here, these were local girls. They went to high school at high schools that we could drive to within 20 to 30 minutes. That's like, you know, That brings it a little closer to home for us. But even locally, you don't see or hear anything about Epstein. It's all, everything, the entire focus of everything has been put onto Trump and the impeachment and the Ukraine. And it's like, yes, I get it. There's a story there.
Oh, sure, you got to cover it, yeah.
But at the same time, it's a non-event, nothing burger.
Oh, and, I agree.
And
it's not so big that we can't talk about other things at the same time.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time. It always cracks me up.
The other thing is...
We can do an Epstein segment here and there in between all the impeachment updates.
The other thing is this whole impeachment inquiry manufactured to take Epstein out of the news cycle?
No, I don't agree with that. I think they just hate Donald Trump. I really don't think they sit down in a back room and say, hey, we're going to get Epstein out of the... him out of the news. No, I don't think that.
I
agree with Ryan on that one.
No, I don't think that.
Blinded
by their hatred for Donald Trump.
I wasn't going to talk about that. What I'm saying is you don't believe that there are people who are steering the agenda of the mainstream media?
But you said for Epstein. Do I think they're in the back room to talk about Epstein?
I understand that, but... Yeah.
No, I don't think that's happening.
So you don't believe that George Soros has any influence on the mainstream media? You don't believe that
that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about Epstein.
It doesn't matter.
That was the question you started off with.
But here's the thing. You say that it's not about Epstein. But what I'm saying is I'm separating them. So here's my question to you. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that there are people that control the leftist agenda for the mainstream media? Yes or no?
Like, what do you mean by that? Like, there's somebody behind the scenes, like, pulling puppet strings?
Yes, pushing narratives that they want.
Well, of course they have narratives. I don't know how they get to that point.
Okay, so somebody has... narrative has to come from somewhere.
I mean, we know the head of CNN was recently caught on a whole thing talking about what direction he wanted things to move
in.
I think it's more of an editorial decision.
And the New York Times said the same thing. They were going to make everything about racism. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of people in various positions of power in the country who are very happy when the story pivoted away from Epstein. But I think that might have been more a happy coincidence for them that they were more than happy to contribute to.
Right, but
I mean, they're obviously pushing in there. Don't get me wrong. We've talked about on plenty of podcasts.
But where do you think these are all independent? These are all independent narratives that the heads of all of these companies, MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post. Do you think all these people independently hate Trump? But do you think that they will sacrifice the integrity of their news source because of their hate, or do you think that it's just? I mean, because that's a big coincidence that many people have the same idea that we're going to focus our entire.
Well, if anything, the CNN video that Project Veritas and James O'Keefe uncovered kind of confirms what I've been saying long. I think it's this. Yeah, Jeffrey Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg earlier, he has a personal vendetta against Trump. So I think it is, and remember, it's a lot of groupthink that goes on in the liberal
movement. Right, but they have to get together somewhere.
Are they sitting around a table like in The Godfather, the five boroughs? That's what I'm saying.
There's no proof that there's not, there's no proof that there is.
Right, sure.
But we had these same, somebody had to make the decision to freeze Bernie out of 2016. Somebody had to sit around a table and make this decision. If they'll do that for an election, what makes you think they won't do that for a news story? If there's the Epstein leaving the news cycle early benefits the liberals and the leftists more than it does anybody on the right. So if they have any kind of agenda that would get that story out, regardless of who it saves, they just know that this was bad for the left. You can tell right away, 26 rides for Bill Clinton on this plane made it an issue they did not want to talk about.
No, I don't think that's what's happening here, but... You know, I'm always free. You know, if I see more information, I'm willing to change my mind. I think they literally just hate Donald Trump so much.
If you're looking for one person who's pulling the strings on everything,
I don't think there's one person.
Or one person or group of people, I don't think you're going to find that person. Because when you're speculating about what's behind the curtain, there could really be anything going on back there.
Well, we know George Soros is involved in some way. That guy's got
maybe.
He's got his claws in everything.
Yeah. I mean, was David Koch doing it on the right?
I just don't like the whole bogeyman. Definitely, yeah. Soros has. Don't get me wrong. He sure does. He's not very good at it because the Republicans have the presidency and the Senate. Like,
right.
Like, it's not making a difference. It always cracks me up, and that's why I can't stand the Soros and Koch brothers thing. First of all, the Koch brothers on liberals. The Koch brothers are libertarians. Stop calling them conservatives.
Yeah.
They're not. And then,
they're not conservatives.
And then on the, it's kind of insulting to people in general that can't make up their own mind. They need the Soroses and the Kochs to coax them for them. It's the same thing I was writing today about the Facebook thing, how the Republicans or the Democrats, you know, they get mad at Facebook for somehow costing Hillary the election because of some stupid memes. Like, you think people are that dumb that they voted for Trump because of memes? Really? That's insulting to half the country.
And then it's also been proven that these places diverted traffic away from conservative sites. There was a Vice special on mm-hmm. it, and they showed, like, on Twitter how they diverted the traffic.
Yeah. Well, again, I know we're not going to get off on the Russia thing, but I will say that always cracked me up. Why would Vladimir Putin want Hillary to win?
Like, I guess the real question is, why are there so many liberals in the media? That's a good question, actually.
I've often wondered that. Like, is it the
maybe they're playing 4D chess and they realize
what it is about journalism and that kind of thing that would draw.
But you would think that journalists
maybe and that they're arrogant. I'm just spitballing. Maybe it's arrogance and they think that, you know, they know better than everybody else, so that therefore the government should be there telling people how to live their lives. I don't know. It's like that's.
But you would think a journalist would be. Our journalists should be our biggest. Like, when I think of journalists, I think of some of our biggest rebels. You know, I think about the people that went against the grain, and they don't want they want the truth over everything.
Who's that woman in Russia? Remember, it was 15 years ago. She ended up being killed by the Russian government because she was trying to report on the truth. I forgot. They made a movie about it.
I don't know, but like
journalists like that.
And I know it's an extreme, but Hunter S. Thompson, you know. He would go to the extreme to get the story and to get the truth. He would find a way to make that truth sound poetic. But he had a full on hate for was it Richard Nixon?
Mm-hmm.
And but yet when they were together, they like it was like he actually they got along. They were like. Talking in the back of a limo or something like that. I heard this one story, and like he understood. He just, you know, but I don't know. I just think that there's a. I don't want to say this as far as when I say manufactured, I meant they saw an opportunity and they said push that instead. That's what I mean by manufactured. I could be wrong, but I can tell you this: the impeachment. Yes. Agenda is more beneficial to the left than a Epstein agenda, and I just think that they picked up that fumble and they're trying to run with it, and they're gonna get smashed again. It doesn't really matter. It's just funny how they're leftists like to oppose like. Leftists are, I think they oppose freedom. I don't understand what their whole thing is freedom, and we're seeing it.
But with reporting, democracy dies in darkness.
But that's what they say. but think about what's going on in Britain with the whole Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does Boris Johnson, what's the other guy's
name?
The opposition?
No.
Nigel Farage.
Yeah. What have they been pushing for? They've been pushing for independence. Freedom.
They want to
the
have
people.
Their,
yeah. The people also voted on it. Like,
right.
There was a vote. The people decided they didn't want to be a part of the European Union anymore. And right. Now Parliament is saying, "Well, we're just going to kick that can down the road, drag our heels as much as we can.
Well,
make it take forever."
It's conservatives. Yeah, sorry. It's conservatives' reason. You know, I can speak for myself. I know a lot of conservatives. We want individual sovereignty over ourselves and our country. you know, and that we respect it out of Britain. I think that's why so many conservatives support Brexit and support what Boris Johnson is trying to do. You know, they shouldn't be beholden to a cotton wide. That's like saying like us being like beholden to some sort of North American equivalent to the European Union. We're not going to do that. You know, like people like Barack Obama were trying to get us to be more under that world umbrella where he was changing the laws of the sea and all this, getting up territory. We don't like that. So when Britain does that, I think that America first thing, that Johnson's like Britain first. And that's fine. Like, it's his country. He should be. As a matter of fact, the reason I said that, if you guys are bored sometime, just go on YouTube and watch the parliamentary session with the prime minister questions. It's so fun to watch because they do things so different there. And Jeremy Corbyn, I don't like him at all. He's the leader of the Labour opposition party. He's an anti-Semite, too. And he's a socialist. Anyways, he got up there and he was saying, because one of Boris Johnson's claims is that he wants to do a trade deal with the United States and Trump. And then Corbyn, of course, turns this into a Trump-hating thing because everything's Donald Trump in the world. And he said that basically, why should we trust the guy that his mantra is America first? That was what he said. I mean, like, if that's not telling of the difference between a liberal and a conservative, like right there.
That's
like,
what makes
Trump is the president of the United States. Why wouldn't that be?
What would he want to be first?
Exactly. He said that right in the House of Commons today.
That makes no sense. Yeah. You know who trusts somebody who says America first?
Americans,
right.
Yeah. He's shocked that Trump doesn't have an overarching globalist agenda.
Oh, my gosh. So God forbid.
We got to back up a little bit and tell the people what happened today in the parliament. So today, they finally, long story short, they finally got to the vote at Brexit deal. Last week, Boris Johnson made a deal with the European Union. He brought it before the parliament. It got delayed on Saturday to today. Then they had two votes today. They debated all day, and they finally voted. It's kind of confusing, so follow along. They voted to approve his deal, which would move it to another stage. So they go into committees, and then they amend it, and then they go for a final vote before the actual deal is completely done. So they voted for the first stage of it today to move to committee. But then the second vote, Boris Johnson wanted the debate closed in 3 days. He wanted to have it done by the end of the week so they could be out of the European Union by the 31st, which was the deadline. So he's doing his job.
But here's the question. By who?
The parliament. That was the British parliament. They kept extending the deadline. That's why it's frustrating. The typical government, just like in here, they'll kick the can down the road. So long story short, the British parliament today said that they didn't agree with this timetable. They want to extend it further. So we're not done yet, but the media is already spinning this against it was a defeat for Boris Johnson. That's not true. Theresa May tried three times to get a deal through Parliament. She didn't. Boris Johnson did. He's tenacious. He won't give up. He's doing everything that he can to get Brexit done. That is his singular, you know, mandate, and he's actually doing it. And I appreciate that him doing.
Isn't that weird that he's getting the comparisons to Trump because he's doing his job.
Britain first, America first, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, but here's the thing. Trump is doing the job that he was hired to do by the Americans that voted him in. He's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And he's gone systematically down the list and has done a lot of those. He has kept fulfilled a lot of the promises that he made on the campaign trail. I wrote an article yesterday about Mexico paying for the wall. They may not be playing brick and mortar and metal, but they're definitely using their own resources, such as their own military, to stop these caravans from coming. Mm. Mexico is becoming the wall themselves. So, in essence, and they're paying for the, you know, America's not paying their troops. They're paying their troops.
Right. Back to Boris Johnson, because I can always talk about Boris Johnson. I think he's great. They were writing him off for dead about a week or two ago. I wrote an article a couple weeks ago. They were literally people in parliament were trying to figure out a way to hold a no confidence vote on him so they could put an emergency prime minister in. This is how, like,
same stuff as Trump.
If they had the same parliamentary procedures here, for sure.
Now, if Boris Johnson was ever on the phone with the Ukrainians, then the whole world would be on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so they tried that, and then of course he went to the Queen tried to suspend Parliament, and then the court threw that out. And he's been doing everything he can to make this happen. I appreciate it. He's doing his job. And not just because it's Britain. It was like the people voted. The British Parliament, they're saying basically screw the people.
Yeah, what was it, 54% wanted?
52-48. And they was expected that all the elites in Europe said it would never pass. You know, kind of like in with Trump. No, they'll never vote for Trump. That's why Trump was a big supporter of Brexit, because he was like, this is going to be, remember he kept saying, this is going to be our Brexit. So.
Yeah, but I can understand, it's not, you know what though, it's not to say, I was going to say, I can understand the EU's resistance to it, because think about if California wanted to secede, which they do, some, there are some in California that do want to secede.
Or split in three.
Or split. So, but that being the case, they weren't, you know, the European Union is a new development. It's not like it's been
in the last like 30 years.
The European Union wasn't founded to keep them, you know, or...
It was supposed to keep peace, basically.
The countries were separate before the European Union ever came, you know what I'm saying? Where America started as America, and each state became a part of America.
Well, if you studied any, or know anything about Margaret Thatcher, towards the end of her term, she vehemently was arguing against joining the European Union.
And she was a staunch conservative.
She's so this might be unpopular, and I love the Gipper, and he tried, but I think she's the best conservative leader as far as like a down for principle conservative there's ever been, ever. I really think that she, if you read her, she actually did everything she could to make, you know, she she got rid of the unions, she put the private sector back in charge of the government, she lowered tax, all these things, and she actually did it for, you know, Reagan. I know the political realities of Reagan are a little different, but he never cut the budget like he wanted to.
Do you remember when the British pound was like three times the American dollar?
Yeah.
I mean, that was due to the work that she had done. She had made England a very successful and prosperous country.
And do you know what the left calls her? A controversial leader. What's controversial about her? Like, I don't understand, because she actually followed through on her principles. Like, I don't understand. Like,
but they weren't leftist principles.
They'll say the same thing. Right. They say the same thing about Reagan. Oh, he's controversial. Like, why?
How is Reagan?
Like, I've heard it. I've heard them say it because they'll say the minorities struggled under him or whatever, so it made him controversial.
America, everybody did great.
Yeah, the statistics prove that.
You know, the 80s were probably our most.
Yeah.
Prosperous, except over the last 2.5 years under Trump, where we've made the most money ever.
And why isn't she a feminist icon, by the way?
You would think that, right?
She was the biggest, I mean, the most famous world leader of the 20th century that was a woman.
She bucked. She was like...
And she was tough.
Yeah, she was
tough as nails.
Yeah, but that's not what feminism is about.
Oh, apparently, because it's, you know...
She didn't have blue hair.
It had nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with the fact that she wasn't about the advancement of women over...
She's a meritocracy person.
Yeah, she wasn't... Yeah. So what a feminist is a woman higher than a man. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be equal.
It's the pendulum.
Even though we are equal, they want power over men. And she just wants power equally for everybody, which is what conservatives want.
Another good woman world leader was Golda Meir from Israel, too. She was pretty interesting. She was, if you read about her, she was kind of cool, too. So, but, you know, I'm a conservative, so I shouldn't want women to be in charge of countries.
You shouldn't want conservatives or minorities. So.
No, I just didn't want Hillary Clinton to be president.
You just want to make the Handmaid's Tale a reality.
Right, the Handmaid's
Tale. Every woman in a red dress.
No. That's Mike Pence. Mike Pence wants to have Handmaid's Tale.
I don't know what
I'm just saying, in America today, no one has ever been wearing a red dress and a white bonnet who didn't put it on themselves. So the metaphor actually does kind of work.
I probably should watch that. Everybody says I should.
I haven't watched it. I'm familiar with the plot line.
I don't know.
It's been ruined for me. I have no desire to watch it.
It was based on Margaret Atwood or something, her book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feminist.
I thought it had something to do with the Scarlet Letter or something like that.
Basically, women are forced to
be
servants in massive harems for powerful white politicians and stuff. And they're called handmaidens, and they wear these red dresses and white bonnets. So, of course, all the feminist protesters, anytime there's a big event, show up wearing that to say, like, you're...
That doesn't make sense.
By appointing Brett Kavanaugh, you're making the Handmaid's Tale a reality.
And then people with protesters be dressed like that outside
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. In America, no one has ever worn one of those who didn't willingly put it on themselves.
Right, but so, dressing like that...
I'm trying to figure out leftist. Yeah. Okay, so before we close today, The most important question about Boris Johnson. Who's got better hair, Boris Johnson or Donald Trump?
Well, better or more iconic?
More iconic is Trump.
Trump is iconic.
Yeah.
Boris is like what I like about
Muskrat a little bit.
What I like about Boris's hair because it's a little bit of Bernie and a little bit of Trump mixed, so it makes it a little bit more.
It's like the coloration of Trump's, but the craziness of Bernie's.
And the punk rock fan in me sees his hair as more of a punk rock hairstyle. So I like, given the choice, I would rock his hairstyle rather than the president.
I'm still waiting for that.
I'm
still waiting for that first press conference at the White House between Boris Johnson and Trump. It's got to happen soon.
Come on, is going to be amazing.
Let them get the Brexit deal. I like the fact that he's like, we're getting Brexit done, and he's not doing anything else.
No, literally, no, he's not. And he was leaving like some, you know, they left some international conference to go right back to Britain. Like this is his thing.
Yeah, and it should be. Yeah. It should be.
Theresa May was way too timid about it. She was firm enough. He's anything he can think of, he's doing.
But when you think about it, and it makes sense if you've ever listened to Jordan Peterson, shout out to Jordan Peterson. Get well. He actually pulled out of Politicon, which is.
And they just lost half their tickets.
He's great. But Jordan Peterson's biggest tenet is basically, if you want to change the world, clean your room. Yeah. And what that means is you start small and then you work big. You work, clean your room, then clean your house, then clean your yard, then clean your neighborhood, then clean your city, then clean your state, then your country. So you work out in concentric circles. What Trump is doing, what Boris is doing, is they're cleaning their rooms. And they're starting with, that is what they're trying to do, is make their own countries first. And you should be, any world leader should be their country first. And here's the thing. There are a lot of countries that will say they're not, but they secretly are. I'd rather have my leader say, yeah, I'm America first, than, oh no, we got to give something for the world, and then back behind closed doors, it's all about, well, how can we get money?
Yeah, well, during the Obama administration, one of my biggest pet peeves with him, well, there's so many, but was the fact that I felt like he was more concerned about, you know, world governance or whatever you want to say. Like, he's more concerned about what the world thought of us than he was about the United States. I mean, the famous apology tour, right, when he first came into office, is, you know, that Cairo University speech where he's basically apologizing for all the sins America's ever done. And, where Trump is like, no. No, I'm not apologizing. We got nothing to apologize for. Yeah, so.
Deal with it.
Deal with it, yeah.
America first. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, what I think Trump should do is get a pair of those thug glasses that just come down every day.
The thug life, the Donald Trump life, thug
deal
life.
With it.
What?
Deal with it. You know, like he'll say something like, yeah, it's like.
So that's our day. That's our day, Brexit. Let us know what you guys think. Do you think that Boris will get this deal done before October 31st? Do you think that there is some entity out there steering the news cycle away from Epstein? Let us know below. That's what those comments
are.
And who's
got the best hair, Boris or Donald?
That's we really, put a poll. We
that's
put a
really
poll
what
up.
The people care about.
Put a poll up.
Yeah.
If you haven't already, please like and share the video. Also subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Hit the notifications button. Ding. And as always, if you want any of the Freedom Wire swag, such as our $9.99.
Don't lie to the people.
$9.99. I don't remember what the prices are.
Christmas time's coming up. Freedom Merch makes great presents.
The Herman Cain special. $9.99.
We got all kinds of stuff on the website that we don't even show on the podcast, so check it out.
Yeah, so please, go to freedomwire.com. Other than that, you guys got anything you would like to add?
No.
That about does it for today.
All right. I don't have anything either, so let's make like a baby. And leave.
Don't know what that means, but yes, leave. Okay.
We'll explain
it
to you later.
Let's make like a tree and get out of here. Right. How's that? Does that make better? So until next time, America.
Save the trees.
Save the trees. Until next time, stay free, America.